worship team. I really appreciate getting our hearts for worship. I'm Keith Newberry, one of the elders here. And the message today is, what is your want-to up to? Think about that. I struggled with that this week. I really did. I thought, hey, this is a catchy title. This is what God laid on my heart. I was convicted by this. I really struggled picking up the Bible, putting together a coherent message, just getting back to it. It's like, oh, I'll get back to it. I'll get back to it. So as I thought about this, it kind of went back to a message I gave maybe a month ago or two, All In for Jesus. And I left you, I left the congregation, those online, with a challenge. Are you a participant or are you a spectator in God's kingdom? Today we're going to build off these messages, as well as to challenge each one of your thinking of what God has in store for our lives. I just want to say a couple things. What a blessing the women's tea. To see all the new faces, what, Becky, was there like 60 people? 61 women there. And importantly, there was, I don't know how many men were out serving. I'm gonna say there was at least 15, there may have been more. But what a blessing for this community. And to think about this church in this community yesterday, this place was full. With the Gregory funeral, it's about celebrating his life and what his life meant. But it's a blessing for this church. It's a blessing for the community. And when I thought about it, I thought about Jesus's ministry and his selfless service to others that we studied leading up to Easter. And Scott, you were right. Preparing a message forces you to study. And sometimes you're on that crunch line. Hey, I gotta put something coherent together today. But I do subscribe to what Scott shared last week. All things work together for good. And some of them happened to us as well as for us. And we all need to give thanks for all things. So please join me in opening prayer. Heavenly Father, I ask that today and through this week that you remove the little distractions in our life. Help us restore the full voltage on the fence and our want to in our lives to follow your will. Help us to surrender our personal desires as well as excuses. And for me, I have to say excuses of not wanting to draw closer to you, Lord. And more importantly, share the love and grace with Jesus with others in our community. Lord, help us not to look back as the world is watching us. We lift up those families who have recently lost loved ones. I think of the Siemens, the Gregory family, and yes, the Cubs family during this time. Be with them, comfort them, and give them strength and peace during this time. We pray for the leaders of our land. Please keep them safe and guard them from evil. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So my scripture that I picked today is Philippians 2, verses 12 through 18. And in my Bible, it gives like a title. In my Bible, it says, do everything without grumbling, which is hard to do. So I'll start in the Word of God. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault, in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. But even if I am poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service that comes from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you, all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. So what, as I thought about this and kind of labored on this message, what is your want-to up to? So it's not what you know you should do. I know what I should do. It's not what I say I believe. I know what I say I believe. It's what you actually want to do, what your heart wants you to do. And these actions show the true condition and the focus of our heart. When I thought of this, maybe it's kind of convicting to me, my immediate responses came to mind, so I'll share with you some of my personal challenges. Maybe it was last week, well, I don't want to get up and go to church today. You know, maybe that couch, that TV, my computer, my phone are more important today. Yes, I struggle with that. And I enjoy preparing messages and studying. But I'm still nervous getting up in front of you. My hands are sweaty. I have the fear that I'm gonna say something wrong or it's not gonna come out right. I truly have to turn this over to the Holy Spirit to use me as a vessel. And I thought about Jesus. Jesus didn't pick the Pharisees, the most educated. He picked the what? The fishermen, the common people to share the word of God. But it doesn't take away the fear of me getting up here, trying to give some type of coherent message, some takeaway to apply to your life. I'm switching gears now. I don't want to. What's my favorite? I don't want to. I'm gonna look at my wife. I don't want to go to dance classes. Many of you probably heard that we celebrated our daughter's wedding a couple weeks ago. It was a wonderful time in Panama, and my wife said, we need to learn how to dance. And I said, I have two left feet. I can't keep beat with music. I don't want to. I found excuses to be at the barn. I'm in the middle of disassembling a cylinder head. I don't want to clean up and go to dance. Or maybe I don't want to go to date night. You know, that's tough. Or maybe sometimes it's I don't want to go to dinner. I'll make it peanut butter and jelly or or more importantly, why don't you make me some soup and a grilled cheese? How about this? I don't want to clean up after myself. And my personal favorite, I don't want to complete anything. I want to take all my projects to 90%, put a list on every wall of every room. Hey, put the baseboards down here. I have that 10% left on all for years. I don't want, my mind is project focused. And I get so, I'm a visionary, and I get 90%, I'm off to the next project. I'm scheming, I'm planning, I got a list, I got a new list on a new project, and I haven't completed the others. And I'll go a little rogue on some of the men, including me here, and I'll think, if I procrastinate long enough about putting my clothes away, that she'll do it for me. That's sad, but it's true. Because we're being honest. There are seasons, real seasons of what we don't feel like doing. Maybe, for me, it's like putting together this message. Sometimes I struggle picking up the Bible. I have the Bible. I got verses on my phone that pop up every day. Well, I'll just skip past that one. How about praying for others? Praying for people in our church? How about even going to church? My favorite, serving others, volunteering. Here's a challenging one, sharing the gospel. Somebody who doesn't know it. And even thinking spiritual things. We all struggle with that. But we still believe, we still care, but the want to just isn't there. For some who may be listening online, maybe is, I'll return to church when they get a pastor. So as I go through all these want-tos or these thoughts in my head, sometimes they can be confusing. Sometimes they can actually be downright discouraging. But it is really about an honest struggle in the heart. And I think about the Apostle Paul in Romans 7. He said something like, "For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate to do, I do." Think about that. There's tension inside every believer. The spirit wants God, but the flesh resists him. And think about, Paul was not just a weak Christian. He was inspired by God. But he struggled with the flesh. So when your want to isn't lining up with your faith, it doesn't mean you failed. It means we're all human. And we need to focus on God. The struggle, while the struggle is normal, staying stuck in it is not where God wants us to live. So when the want to fades, if we only follow our want to, we slowly drift away from the very things that give us life. Just like our relationships. They start out with excitement, commitment, passion. Think about a marriage or a relationship. Over time, without nourishment, you can drift apart slowly and even get to a place of complacency where you take each other for granted and caring about your only wants, needs, and desires. I've been there. Relationships take work. Marriages take work. But the important thing is they can be rekindled with a greater bond with God at the center of your relationship. Yep, I've been there. But drawing closer to God has made my relationships with my wife, my daughter, my friends, my family grow even stronger. It's no longer about me. Going back to what Scott shared last week, we let the little things consume us, bite by bite. Think about that. Just a little bite here, a little bite there. And yes, some of us pull out that victim card and that platinum victim card. It's time to cut it up, as Scott said, so that we can get back to the true author of life. I personally am not focused or don't tend to look back, and I think about what Scott shared with plowing and turning your head to find yourself back in the ditch again. I really never look back in life wondering what could have been if I have done this, or if I went to the school, or if I focused here, or I don't live there. It's just how I was wired. Many of you heard me tell the stories of growing up in the slums of Detroit. I was a token 2% minority. Very, very difficult situations, circumstances. You walk to school, there are heroin needles along the sidewalks. There's winos walking to school, begging for your lunch money. There were shootings in the projects. We walked through the projects every day to go to school. You could hear the gunshots. I never wondered why. My mother thought these cultural experiences were important in our lives. It didn't matter. I developed situational awareness. I developed rapid problem-solving skills. You know, you were, we had guns in schools in the 60s. I can tell you the 60s and early 70s. You know, you go in the bathroom and somebody's pulling out a gun. I never let those control my thinking, but it helped me develop strategic thinking skills, which I applied in engineering. You had to figure things out. And I was blessed for those experiences. However, as I look at my life, my engineering, and my career, and where I'm at today, there was more training that I needed to learn. And some of that came in later in life, not to depend solely on myself, but to include God and depend on God. Because it's not enough to depend on yourself to figure it out. We need to turn things over to God, focus on God, and include God and prayer to learn and discern where God has taken me. And through this, learning and trusting God, including God in my life, has turned my life around, even as a young adult. So, trying to get to my points. Your want-to needs training. I think I talked about training the heart. Let's just read a scripture, Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And Ephesians 3:19. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with to that measure of all the fullness of God. Your desires are real, but they're not always reliable. Think about this way. How many of your children don't want to eat Brussels sprouts? I don't want to eat them today. How about an athlete that does not always want to train? You know, it's like, oh, it's too much work. My body hurts today. How about a student that doesn't always want to study? But growth requires moving beyond what we feel at the moment. Spiritual maturity is learning to do what is right even when your want to isn't cooperating. Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 5. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all in all. When I thought of this scripture, it reminds me to get up off the bench, get off the couch, train. How about sharpen the sword and get back into the game? The important thing is to surround yourself with people who can encourage you. Think about that, who you keep as friends. If you surround yourself with people who can encourage you, challenge you, and help you draw closer to Christ, you can grow. It'll be fun. It'll be rewarding. And at work, I always liked to do that. I used to have these intellectual bannering sessions with my coworkers. You know, just we would just theorize, we would invent stuff, we would challenge each other's thinking. So don't let the problems or challenges in life grind you to a halt or even paralyze your thinking. Some of you may have known or may know, I don't know why, for some reason, I volunteered to help my brother during crunch time, during construction phases. Just volunteer. What do you need help with? So there's one time I'm up in the man lift, up in the air, I'm installing cedar shakes on a very complex cottage. It was three-dimensional. There were three to four angles coming together. There was a gable, there was a swoop involved, all kinds of crazy stuff. And I was up in this man lift with an experienced carpenter. He knew it. He knew it. And he just froze. Where do we get started? He's asking me. I'm not a contractor, Well, where do we start? How do we get all these angles to line up and work together? He was asking me about situation, the layout, and how to get started. And not to start and rip it off three different times, to do it over and over again. He froze. He just said, I don't know what to do. He said, just put me down. I need to just walk away to think about it. So we got in the mail lift, we put it down. He got out, I don't know where he went. He was gone for 20 minutes. I went back up, and by the time he came back, I had a corner done. And that's the hardest part. That's not to say I'm some great carpenter. I just figured things out and moved on. Getting back to our points, God works on your want to. Here's the good news. In Philippians 2, verse 13, it says, for God who works in you to will and act in order to fulfill his good purpose. It is God who works in you both to will and do. That doesn't mean God doesn't care about what you do. He cares about what you want as well. So when your want to is off, don't just feel guilty. Bring it to God. Maybe for some of you it's saying, Lord, today I don't feel like praying, but I want to pray. That's bringing it to God. It's an honor. So let's go to the next bullet point. Do first, and the feelings will follow. Sometimes you got to push yourself through it. It's like, well, I didn't want to pick up this message today. This message was convicting to me. So as I studied this week, Ephesians 4, 1 through 5, these are the verses I studied. As a prisoner of the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and all. So as I thought about that, it's like, how does this relate to what my want to is? You know what? Feelings often follow obedience, not the other way around. So let's go to the next point, rekindling our want to. Sometimes we need to go back where we started. What has God done for you? What has God done for me? My favorite one is, where has God brought me from? Think about that. That is a powerful one. Where has God been faithful in my life? And when you build this gratitude or you realize what God has done for you, it fuels your desire and it rekindles that want to. Sometimes we need to start small. But getting started is the hardest part. It's like, how do I do this? You got this big picture. You just got to start. Maybe it's just reading a few verses. Maybe it's just kind of saying a simple prayer. For me, sometimes it's just showing up when your heart isn't quite into it 100%. You know what? But that consistency of doing that, the consistency day in and day out, matters more than that intensity. And you will have those intense moments, but not always, at least for me. Here's my favorite. Remove distractions. I think about Scott. Distractions like a line on that electric fence. I have distractions everywhere. Where's my phone? Where's my computer? Oh, there's up the hill. There's all kinds of stuff I need to do up the hill. I have distractions. We all have distractions. And sometimes the problem isn't that we don't want God. Think about this. It's we want something else more. So we fill our time with busyness. And then we realize why we're spiritually empty. So as a closing challenge, as I try to bring this message to close, what is your want-to up to? Let's go just jump to the, last slide. Are you willing to bring it to God and let Him reshape it? Even if you can say today, Lord, I don't feel it. I don't feel it. But I don't want to stay this way. You know what? That's a beginning. And God can do a lot with that. So as I close, are you still on the couch? Maybe you're an armchair quarterback expressing your opinions on everything. I encourage you to get in the game and serve in God's kingdom. It is rewarding, and the encouragement that comes from serving others is uplifting, and it can be contagious, and the blessings will come out when we work together for sharing the love of God with this church and this community to reach people for Christ. My closing thought is, be part of God's solution. Be part of God's solution. Please join me in a closing prayer. Lord, you see our heart. You see my heart. You know when our desires are strong. And Lord, you know when they are weak. Forgive us, forgive me for the times that we've drifted. For the times that we followed your feeling, our feelings, my feelings, instead of your truth. Work in us, work in me to change our want to. Give me a hunger for your word, a desire to pray, a love for your house here, and a heart to serve. Even when we don't feel like it, help us to walk by faith and restore the joy of walking with you. Restore the joy of walking with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.